This is Radio 4 and the World Service of the BBC from London. And now the second in our series of six internationally renowned plays, which are also being heard by listeners around the world. We present Globe Theatre.
The Seagull by Anton Chekhov, in a version by Thomas Kilroy, with Anna Massey as Isabel Desmond and Alan Rickman as Aston. A country estate in the west of Ireland, 1896.
You're always wearing black.
Because I'm so sad. Black is for sadness.
But why so? You may not be rich, I know, but at least your father is agent on the estate. You can't be that badly off. Look at me. I have to live on £2 a week, and I'm not complaining.
Money isn't everything. Even the tinkers out on the road can be happy.
That may be all very well if you read about it in a book. The real thing is different. I'm telling you, you don't know the half of it.
We'll soon have the play starting.
Aye. Lily is going to be up there speaking the poetry that Constantine has written for her. It must be marvellous for both of them to be in love, to share their love like that. Not like the two of us. Every day of the week I walk 4 miles over here and 4 miles home again. And for what I ask you, nothing but cold stares. I know I'm only a schoolmaster. Who'd want to marry me anyway?
Oh, for the Lord's sake, don't be an ass. Of course, I find your feelings for me very moving. It's only that I can't feel the same way for you. Anyway, all you ever do is lecture at me and talk about money. It's awful boring. What? You think there's nothing as bad as being poor. That's only because of your background.
Oh, you only knew.
It never suited me, living in the country. I'd never get used to it. That damn silence.
Bed early last night, up early this morning.
Dreadful.
It's no wonder half the neighborhood lives in England. This country's asleep.
You're right, Uncle. You ought to live in London. You don't belong here, and besides, Cousin Gregory is perfectly good at collecting the rents. What are you two doing here? You shouldn't be here yet. Do you mind? I will call you before the play begins.
Oh, and Mary, my dear. Do you think you might get your father to lock up that dog at night? Keeps everyone awake howling.
You must tell him yourself, if you don't mind. Come on, James.
Thank God. It means that damn dog will be loose again tonight. Oh, I could never effect anything in this house. Used to come down for a rest from the office in Dublin. Your mother was never here. I was scarcely in the door when the whole countryside descended upon me. I remember I always wanted to leave at once. The trouble is, this is the only home I have now that I'm retired. Better accept it, I suppose.
Would you mind, Master Carl, if we took a few minutes to ourselves?
What? No, you mustn't delay now. We've got to get started on the play soon. Yeah,
of course, we'll be back in a second.
Now, Uncle, isn't this what you might call a theatre? A stage, a curtain, and nature's naked loveliness. We'll begin with the beginning of darkness. And the rising of the moon.
Splendid.
Lily. I'd forgotten about Lily.
What?
She'll probably be late and everything will be ruined. Her father and stepmother keep her locked up, you know, in her own home.
I know. What's the matter with your mother? She's in such a vile humor these days.
Boredom. That's what it is. Boredom and jealousy.
Jealous?
Yes, jealous. You wouldn't think it, would you? The great actress, Isabel Desmond. Jealous because her son has given his play to another woman. She would never actually read my play, of course not. Not, Mother, that would be asking far too much.
I don't believe it.
She is furious, actually, because here, on our little stage, buried in the west of Ireland, Lily. Lily will triumph. My mother's balmy, you see. Oh, yes, a great actress. beautiful, full of feeling. She recites Tennyson from memory. She positively weeps over the Brontes. And she visits the paupers in Ballinasloe Workhouse. You see? But, and here is the big but. Just you mentioned Madge Kendall or Ellen Terry in her presence, and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, no.
No. You must praise only Isabel Desmond, incomparable Jane Eyre, her divine Miranda, as Mr. Clement Scott puts it. But no one has ever heard of Mr. Clement Scott in East Galway. So she is bored stiff and stingy. She has £10,000 in Coutts Bank. You didn't know that, did you? But just ask her to lend you a farthing. She will start wailing and weeping.
My dear boy, your mother adores you. You go on and on about how she despises you and your play and so on and so forth. It's not like that at all.
I interfere with her life. I am her mirror. At the age of 25, I remind her of... Oh, I don't know. It's when she is away from me. She doesn't look a day over 30. She can have her lovers. When I'm around, she is 43 and looks 50. That is why she cannot love me. Besides, I despise the London theatre. I mean, her kind of theatre. All those boring imitations of boring French comedies. Everything unreal. Unreal clothing, unreal complexions, unreal feelings. All served up in that polite, dead language. No roots, no contact with nature, with people.
Now, wait a moment. Really? You can't dismiss the theatre just like that.
I am not. I am dismissing what is dead. Finished. We need a new theatre. One that will bring back the ancient wisdom, the eternal, the infinite. So of course I love Mama. Love her very much, as a matter of fact. It's just that there's no poetry in her life. Everything about her is so vulgar. The way she debases herself before that writer Aston, it's despicable. Her name is spread across every newspaper in London and on the lips of every hotel porter in Mayfair. It's disgusting. Sometimes I wish she were a nobody. Can you imagine what it is like for me, Uncle? I stand there in a room in Chelsea, filled with her people, writers, artists, and I do not exist for them except as her son, her offspring. Otherwise, what am I? Who am I? I came down from Trinity after 3 terms. My nerves, you see, they said it was my nerves. And I have no prospects, no money, no visible ability. The son of a Galway merchant. So there I am. Outlandish in a London drawing room, and they all stare at me, tolerating me merely because of her.
Incidentally, what about this chap, Aston? Doesn't say very much, does he, for a writer?
Oh, he's all right, I suppose. He's obviously very serious. He's younger than Mother, you know. Actually, I cannot stand his work. It's superficial. I mean, one can't compare him to Dickens. Or even Wilkie Collins.
You know, I've always wanted to be a writer. When I was your age, my boy, I wanted... Well, as a matter of fact, I wanted to get married. Get married, be a writer. Not that.
Shh! Do you hear?
What?
It's she. I know it. It's Lily.
Oh.
I can't bear it. Lily.
I can't be late. Am I late?
Oh, of course not. Never mind.
Waiting all day to escape. Then Father decided to go out with that woman, and I seized my chance. I felt like one of those ancient heroines.
Oh, yes.
That's silly of me. Now I'm here, I'm actually happy. I really am.
What, tears? Come along now, this won't do at all.
It's nothing at all. I just feel as if I were about to collapse in a heap. Oh, but I've got to be back in an hour.
Oh, please,
no,
Lily.
No, I can't stay any longer. If my father only had an inkling, I was here.
Not to worry. It's time for curtain up anyway. I'll go and get the
other. No, don't you, sir. Let me go. You two stay here. I'll be back in a minute.
My father and stepmother have such awful ideas about this house. They say it's a den of loose morals and free thinking and bohemianism. And they'd have conniptions if they knew I was going to actually act on a stage. But I can't help it. Maybe it's the lake. It draws me over as if I were a seagull. I feel for you.
There is nobody here now.
There's someone over there.
Where?
I thought there was.
Nobody at all. Oh, you won't go early, will you?
I'll have to.
Then I will follow you home. I love you, Lily. Who's that? Is that you, Jack?
Only myself, Master Con.
Right. Now, don't forget, have the methylated spirits handy and the sulfur. As soon as the red eye lights up, burn the sulfur, all right? Lily, you'd better get up on the stage. We're all set. Are you feeling nervous?
Of course I am. I mean, it's not your mother so much. That English writer, Aston. To think of what he must be used to. Is he young or old?
Youngish, I suppose.
His books are great.
I never read a word of them.
The trouble with your play is that there are no ordinary people in it.
Who on earth wants ordinary people? That's not what poetry is about. Poetry is about what we dream of.
But nothing happens in the play except it goes on and on with speeches. It isn't even a romance. They were terrible damp out here. Go back in and put something on your feet.
Oh, I'm melting with the heat, Pauline.
Oh, it is no better than you, a duck. I think sometimes you do it to be contrary. Well, don't blame me when you collapse with consumption. Another one, Bewitched by Madame. Oh, go on, admit it. You find her attractive, don't you?
Who?
Madame Isabelle.
For the Lord's sake, I'm 35 years of age.
And what's that supposed to mean, may I ask? This man is only in his prime past 50. You're still the bee's knees as far as the women are concerned.
If the truth were told, the women really like me because I'm a doctor. I've delivered more babies than anyone else this side of the River Shannon. Besides, I've never been dishonest with a woman in all my life. You know that.
Oh, you're too much altogether, dearest.
Don't. The others are coming.
The one of the royal things. I really cannot remember which. At any rate, she was off magnificent. She knelt by the window in the last act. Quite unable to breathe now. The snow falling outside. Oh, such beauty. Such sadness.
Oh, dear God.
Now, she was trained by the Bancrofts, don't you know, Aston, at the Prince of Wales?
What?
Where are all those splendid actors now?
Dear Cousin Gregory, why ask me? How should I know where any of them are?
You may say what you will, Cousin Isabel, but the theatre is not what it used to be. Where are the Keith and the Kemble? The mighty oaks have fallen, and nothing remains but the puny sapling.
Constantine, when is this going to begin, dear?
You will have to be patient. We are almost ready.
Oh, Hamlet, speak no more. Thou turnest mine eyes into my very soul, and there I see such black and grainy spots as will not leave their teeth.
And let me wring thy heart, for so I shall, if it be made of penetrable stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, please be silent. We are going to begin.
Ah, good.
Let the ancient spirits of the gale attend on us as we call forth the figures out of the mists of time. As it was in the past, so shall it be in the future, for all time is one.
Nothing in the future, don't you know? Well, let us see that nothing.
Do let's see something before we all fall fast asleep.
Silence! Let the voice of the ancient people be heard.
I am Maha, queen of Ulla. I am Morrigu, the crowbird who flies over the battlefield. I am Era and Fola and Banba, the daughter of Dagda. I am every woman of the Tuatha Dé Danann, the people of light and air.
Good Lord, it's one of those Celtic things.
Before the struggle begins, I speak of what is to come. When the struggle has ended, I speak of what has happened because I am always present. And the struggle begins and ends and begins again. On the plain of Moitura, they walk towards one another, one born of the other, the light and the dark. Lu of the long hand and Balor of the evil eye.
God, isn't it? That it should be 1900 or something.
I speak of the scene on Moitura's plain. I see now the desolate place without any living thing. Neither branch nor flower, neither bird nor insect. But in the air, the spirits of the inner world are gathered for the contest, hushed and motionless. It is the beginning of the world. It is the end of the world. Cold, cold, cold. Lu, the master of all crafts and arts, walks where the light is. Gentle and soft. Balor, his terrible grandsire, approaches him. The four attendants beside him, ready at the signal to lift the great lid from the terrible eye, at the sight of which whole armies burn up.
This is really a bit too much.
Mother, please.
I see him now, the father of giants as he comes. Where is Lu?
I thought he's already arrived.
Lu, the bright face. To cast the sling at the terrible eye. To cast it out.
Do I detect the smell of sulfur?
In every thousand years.
Is that sulfur?
Yes.
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 Oh, not bad, Mr.
Manager. Yes.
Please,
Mother.
Until
the
taking your hat
off
again. Oh, the doctor lost his hat to what's his name? Oh, evil eye.
Stop it. No more.
Oh, Gary, don't be silly.
That is enough of it. Close the curtain. Will you close the curtain? My apologies, you see, I made a terrible mistake. I had forgotten, you see, that only the special people were allowed to write plays and act in them. How could I? How could I ever?
What on earth has got hold of him?
Isabel.
What?
The boy's feelings. You have...
What did I do? Did I say something? Will someone please tell me what I've done?
You have hurt him. I think...
But I mean to say, he distinctly told us it was to be a joke. A charade. Is not that true? Did he or did he not say that?
Perhaps it was his way.
And now it appears he's written a work of genius, not a joke after all. Oh, no, no, a work of genius to show us how plays ought to be written, how parts ought to be played, and all of it, mark you, directed against me, against his own mother. He never stops gnawing away at my very being. He's infantile, conceited, utterly impossible.
But, my dear, don't you see? He's trying so very hard to please you.
Oh, really? With all that Celtic rubbish, that Hibernian drivel, visions indeed. Why can't you be like the rest of us? You are. Simply bad manners, if you ask me.
One should be absolutely free to express oneself as one wishes.
Well, I certainly have not curtailed his freedom. I simply will not have my freedom invaded, that's all.
You mustn't get angry.
Why shouldn't I be angry? I'm his own mother. My deepest feelings, my most private instincts. I never really intended to hurt him in that way, Dr. Hickey.
This whole notion of Celtic culture is dangerous, don't you know? I know the people, and they're not what they appear to be at all. I can tell you that now. Someone should write about school teachers, and that would be the right subject. The hardness of the life, everyday struggle to make ends meet, you know.
But of course, my dear, we all know that. But really, must we talk of such things on such a splendid evening as this? Listen, everyone. Do you hear it? Do you hear the singing in the distance? It's way over beyond the lake, near Kilmore. Aston, my dearest, come and sit beside me.
Of course.
When we were younger, there was always music and singing about the lake and on the boats in summer. It's all so terribly changed. People gone away. Houses closed up. Once upon a time, we were only worried about our loves. Our lovers. The new officers quartered in the barracks at Gort, and whose turn it was to give a ball on Saturday.
Ah, yes.
Ah, my dear Dr. Hickey.
I must tell you, Aston. This man here was the beau of the whole countryside in our youth. Of course, he's still impossibly handsome, but once he was like a young god. Why did I hurt the poor child in that way? I am utterly heartless. I deserve to lose him. Constantine!
Shall I get him for you?
Oh, would you, Mary, my dear? That would be terribly kind of you.
Con? Con? Connie? You? I suppose I might as well come out if nothing else is to happen.
Bravo!
Absolutely. Why, my darling, with such a talent, such presence, you have to be wasted in a place like this.
Oh,
you simply give yourself to the world.
Oh, you really mean it, Madame Desmond. Oh, it should never happen to me.
Well, one never knows, does one? But allow me to introduce you to our celebrity, Mr. Ashton.
Hello.
Oh, I'm absolutely delighted. What I mean is your books. I've read everything you
know. Now, my dear, don't be shy. He may be famous, but he's not going to harm you. Actually, he's painfully shy himself.
Isn't it a strange sort of play, Mr. Aston?
Well, to be quite frank, I had no idea what it was about, but I thought you acted with sincerity. Besides, the setting's extremely beautiful. It must be a splendid lake for fishing.
Yes. I mean, I think so.
I love to fish. More than anything else in the world, I love to fish.
Oh, I think that's so strange. What I mean is, well, for someone who has actually created something, created so much, to be content
with... My darling, you must never say such things. Look how you've discomfited the poor man.
I remember after the Cork exhibition in 1872, you remember, cousin? Mario and Greasy performed in the exhibition hall, and old Lord Carrick had the whole troupe out for a concert in Ballyasky House. Well, I may say, you have never had such thinking. I will never forget Mario's Come Gentile.
The fairies have stolen away our voices.
I have to be going so soon. Why, you've only just arrived, my darling.
I'd much rather stay. I can't abide being at home. Nothing but talk of rents, the Land League, and new coercion acts to stop the troubles. So boring. I really must be going.
Oh, please, do stay with us a little longer.
I can't, sir. I just can't.
What, not even 1 hour more?
I can't. I'm sorry. Goodbye. What a misfortunate little creature.
They say, you know, that her mother was outrageously wealthy, but now her father's remarried and the poor thing has been cut off without a penny. Dreadful.
I agree. Father's a monster.
Oh, I think it's time to move in, everybody. It's quite damp, you know.
Oh, my darling, do let me help you.
Madame Pauline.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that dog is howling again. Cousin Gregory, can we not have some peace? Surely the dog may be put in the kennel, not kept in a chain outside.
Cousin Peter, if you don't mind, I must be the bounder to that. Every house has to have a garden. Countryside is filled with villas, likely outhouses. Do you know?
On the plain of Moitura. I wonder who is the young god Lou and who is the old god Bala with the evil eye. Odd, very odd. And innocent. Was I the only one to be moved? Ah, Constantine.
Obviously everyone has departed. I expected that, of course.
Well, I haven't departed. And I just want to say, your play, I liked it very much. Of course it's strange, those ancient tales, but you have talent. You...
Oh, Dr. Hickey, thank you.
There now. Thank God you're upset.
You said I was a writer.
Yes.
Do you think I should carry on?
Of course.
Oh, thank you.
But what I would say is that everything, art included, has to be based upon what we know, what we have lived through. You see, otherwise, you try to make life match your dreams. The wrong way around.
Lily! Where's Lily?
Oh, she's away home, this wild bat.
Oh, God, I have to see her. What will I do?
Tom, won't you come inside to us? Your mother's worried about you.
Leave me alone, do you hear? Stop pestering me. Goodbye, Doctor. Thank you. I will... I'll say no more.
Oh, the young... The young...
When people don't know what to say, they say, the young, the young.
You're quite right, young lady. I think we should be going in, don't you?
Wait.
What is it?
I must speak to someone. Oh, please, I need you to help me. There's no one else. Help me, I will do something terrible. I can't go on like this anymore.
What is it, Mary? How can I help you?
I'm so unhappy. You wouldn't believe it. No one could know how unhappy I am. It's Constantine. I love him. I love him.
Everyone's upset. Seems the whole house is the same. What's come over us? Everyone in love with everyone else. And what can I do, Mary? What can I do for anyone?
No. Now, Dr. Hickey will be the judge. You're what, 22 years of age? Why, I'm almost twice your age. Now, Doctor, which of us looks the younger?
But of course you do, my dear Isabel.
See? And why, you may ask? What is it that keeps me so alert, which gives me such élan? Why, occupation. Because I work, I'm as busy as a bee. And you, Charles, you sit moping about in the same old place looking positively wretched.
I feel as if I'm 90 if I'm a day. I feel as if my whole life is like an old gown dragging behind me. Sometimes I don't have the slightest desire to go on living. Isn't that awful? I must stop.
Shall we go on with our reading now? We have been reading the description of the great actress, the devil incarnate, I do believe.
Give me the book and I'll read instead. It is my turn. Behold, I found upon her something neither of woman nor of man. In each of her eyes sat a devil. These evil forces bore her through the tragedy, and as the action rose and the stir deepened, how wildly they shook her with their passions of the pit. How divine. What insight there is there into the art of the great tragic artists.
And into the art of womanhood, I dare say. All devil... All angel.
How predictable of you, my dear doctor. How so very like a man. You're like Dr. John in the book, imprisoned in male attitude. But really, I'm weary of our reading. I'm weary of young romantic heroines falling in love with older, masterful men. How very boring. The modern woman has to be free of such nonsense, Mary. She has to be independent, resolute, ready to meet man as an equal. Take Mr. Aston and me, for example, where both artists.
She seems so.
And well. My little bird is free at last. Her cruel father and stepmother have gone away to Dublin and the pup. 3 whole days of freedom. Hey, Lily?
I'm happy just to be here. I belong to you now.
Isn't she an adorable child?
She has that glow of the countryside, one of those Irish beauties. But I don't think it's a good thing to lavish praise on such young shoulders. It's bound to bring bad luck. Where's Mr. Aston?
He went down to the pier to fish.
I can't understand why he isn't thoroughly bored fishing. And what have you all been reading?
A Villette
by Charlotte Bronte. You know it. I once had an incredible feeling for the heroine of this novel, but now I could shake her. She's so impressed by quite dreadful men. But then that's something one learns as one grows older. I'm suddenly incredibly depressed. Where is Constantine? Will someone kindly explain that boy to me? I'm his mother. I never see him.
His heart is troubled.
Won't you read a bit of this play for us, Lily? Go on.
Really? Does everybody want me to?
It's such a bore. He reads it himself. It turns into something strange and wonderful. It's maybe his voice that does it. Or the look of the poet on his face.
Wake up, master of the house.
Peter!
What?
You've been snoozing.
Rubbish.
It's extremely worrying. My son and then my brother. You're unwell, Peter.
I am not unwell.
May I ask why you no longer take your medicine?
I would be perfectly happy to take my medicine, but my good doctor will not prescribe.
You're 60 years of age.
Oh, am I supposed to cease living simply because I've reached the age of 60? Extraordinary, I must say.
I've prescribed some drops for you.
Besides, this damn weather. Dead heat, heavy air, nothing moving, no air to breathe.
You must move to Bath. He must move to Bath at once, or Baden-Baden.
Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Yeah. It's the smoking causes the bad health. That and the drink.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
No, sir, it is not rubbish. James is right. Because of this day and age, no one willing to face life as it is. Everyone looking for escape, even if it means wrecking the Constitution.
I simply enjoy a good claret and a cigar. Nothing very remarkable, really, about that. I just simply need to know that I'm alive.
Must we talk like this? For heaven's sake, do let's look on the brighter side of things.
Of course we must. It's serious. Being alive or being dead is a very serious choice indeed.
Well, I must be going. It's almost time for the lunch anyway. I'm stiff with the cramp.
Oh, that Mary. She'll go into the house and have several drinks before her lunch.
Was she desperately unhappy, poor thing? Oh, what difference does it make if the poor thing finds it easier?
You forgive me, sir, but you're talking dangerous nonsense.
God, sir, but you are righteous.
Oh, my God, I'm so bored with the country. Oh, it's delightful to be with you, my darlings, to sit, talk, and read together. But really, I wish I were in London. To sit in one's drawing room, reading a new part. Perhaps something by Mr. Grundy. I really do begin to miss my art.
Of course. It must be quite awful for you here, in this dreary place.
Well, I'd be quite happy in Dublin, taking a stroll from College Green to the club, meeting old friends from the country.
Well, all pleasant and correct, I see. Good morning, madame.
Good morning. And what do they say here? My good wife informed me this morning, mind you, that you were going for afternoon tea to the Grattan Blakes.
Yes,
I see. She was splendid, excellent, I must say. Have you noticed the weather?
The weather?
The weather, madame. Sky, sun, the first dry spell all summer, and you propose to travel today. May I inquire how?
Why? We'll take the carriage, Cousin Gregory. What on earth is he going on about?
The horses! We have every horse in the fields, drawing barley and taking the last of the hay from the low meadows. And you speak to me of afternoon tea, I ask you. Perhaps you would like me to bring every horse out of the fields. Of course, you are a great artiste, madame. I would sacrifice myself at your feet, madame. But you cannot have the horses. Absolutely not.
Dear Cousin Gregory, you clearly haven't heard properly. We are about to leave. We must have one of the carriages.
Absolutely impossible. Have you the slightest idea, my dear lady, of what farming entails?
I haven't the slightest interest in farming, dear Cousin Gregory.
Of course not.
Of course not. That, you may remember, is your responsibility. Oh, for heaven's sake, I don't care what you do. Go hire some horses. Every summer I visit this infernal place, it's the same idleness, the same inattention. I'm thoroughly sick of it. Very well, I shall walk to the Grattan Blake.
Good God, this is the end. You are a scoundrel, Gregory.
Very well, then, I resign. I resign, everybody. Take note of it.
There are plenty of horses for hunting with the Blazers for every crony of County Galway. Well, it's quite clear to me that I no longer belong to this place. I am leaving. Forever.
Call that blackguard back. At once. By God, I will assemble every horse in the place on the front lawn.
Speak in such a way to such a great artiste. She who commands the London stage to be insulted by a farmer. It's inconceivable, really it is.
I know, he's a horrible man when he's vexed. I have to live with it day in, day out.
This one. This damn chair. I must go inside. Talk to my sister. Try to calm her down.
Hush, dear. Let us push you in. The whole thing is awful.
He's always been like this. Don't know why I ever took him on. He'll never leave
you. Aren't people like fools the way they go on?
Oh,
And your husband is the biggest fool of all. Does he think he owns the place?
Do you see how it affects me?
Of course I do.
But it means nothing to you all the same.
It's unfair of you to say that.
It's not as if he runs the estate properly. He doesn't. It's bankrupt like every other estate in the west of Ireland. You know, they've stopped paying the rents again this past month. The landleaguers will have nothing to take of what's left. And what is to become of us when the place is emptied? Oh, my dearest. We've no time to lose. We must go now. I don't care where. I'll go anywhere with you. Anywhere.
My dear, I'm too old now to go anywhere.
You're tired of me, aren't you?
You're being silly.
I have this sudden feeling that everything has ended. I must be so tiresome for you. I'm sorry.
Don't speak like that, please.
I've finished. Oh, excuse me.
Ah, Lily. Is it safe to go in there now, do you think?
Madame is lying down with a compress and himself is raging in the drawing room.
Time for me to be doctor again.
Here, I brought you some flowers.
Ah, now, are they for me?
You kind, sir.
Brought my life back to me.
Come along, Doctor.
Excuse me.
Fuzzy. You know, that's the kind of thing that makes me distracted. I simply can't understand it. Madame Isabel in such a state. Over nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's all very odd. Mr. Aston, a best-selling writer, only interested in fishing. Fishing, for heaven's sake. The whole world awaits his very next word. And what is he doing? Spending his time trying to catch pike on Rossmore Lake? It's also so incredibly ordinary. I mean, it's such a dreadful shock. Actually, to see them crying and fishing and playing cards about the place like everyone else. Perfectly odd. Oh, Constantine.
Are we alone?
Yes. You know, I've had this absolutely incredible insight into... What on earth is that?
I'm disgusting. Please don't deny it. Today I shot this seagull. And now I place it at your feet.
Oh, Lord. What's the matter with you now?
And then later, I will kill myself.
Don't be silly, Constantine. Oh, dear. There is something the matter with you. What is it? What on earth has got into you?
It's you have changed so. And then I changed too. Your chilly looks. You despise me. You must actually hate my being near you.
Well... You haven't exactly been dashing company recently, now have you? I mean to say, it can be rather a bore. Besides, I really can't understand what you say most of the time. I mean, I'm not very clever about art and all that. And now I take it this seagull is one of your symbols. Really, Constantine, do forgive me, but I cannot be expected
my
to
play.
Follow your... Your what?
When it failed, my play... Failure. Disgrace. A woman will never forgive failure, you know. Well, you'll be relieved to hear it's gone. I destroyed it. Tore the pages. Burned them. Oh, God, you've no idea of how I suffer so. The way you've rejected me so casually. No, so carelessly. What is so very difficult to understand about me? About my work? The truth is you dismiss me like the others. You will not flatter me even with a criticism. I don't even count as a person in your sight.
Constantine!
No, I see it all so accurately. I will not be discarded like a useless thing. My pride won't allow it. Do you hear? I won't be walked upon. I won't be... Oh, now attend. Real genius approaches like Hamlet and his book. Words, words, words.
Oh, you're scarcely here, and you cannot disguise your passion. Your eyes, your face alight. Oh, forgive me. I am obviously intruding upon you.
Good morning, Mr. Afton.
Oh. Good morning. I'm afraid we're about to leave. Unexpectedly, as it happens. We are unlikely to see one another again. Pity. But what I mean is that I rarely meet someone like you. Indeed, I rarely have the opportunity to speak with you. Young, intelligent, and yet unspoiled women. I'd give anything just now to be you. To step into your life to see what it would be really like.
Oh, I'd be glad to swap places, thank you.
Whatever for?
Well, for one to be famous. To live in London. To have people talk about me. Write about me. To be away from this boring, unhappy place. To jump 2, 5, 10 years of my life straight into the future.
Please, no other word. How frightfully depressing.
Well, what is it like to be famous? How are you changed by it?
Changed? I've never actually thought about it like that before. Perhaps you're exaggerating my importance.
But you must have such a wonderful life. You can't know how much I envy someone like you. Most people don't even know that they are unhappy because they've never known anything else. And they die without knowing what life could give. But then there are the others, singled out from the throng, special people, chosen as if a life had picked out their faces in the darkness. You're such a person. You are one of those who has given meaning to life.
You really mustn't say such things. I do believe this Irish air is extremely dangerous. Well, perhaps you are. But never mind. The truth is, my interesting life is nothing but a small, squalid existence.
Oh.
I have never said such a thing to anyone before. How curious.
You are... Your life is... so beautiful.
It's nice of you to say so, but of course you're wrong. There is no beauty in my life. You really must excuse me. My work. I must return to my writing. How curious. I've become quite excited, actually nervous, almost hysterical. Very well. Let us talk. Calmly. Above all, accurately about this beautiful life, as you put it. To begin with, I'm obsessive. I must constantly scribble, copying down words, phrases, observations. People are of significance to me only if they're suitable for transcription to paper. I complete one book and start another with scarcely any awareness of what I'm doing. Does this appear particularly beautiful to you? Of course not. Actually, it's pathological. Consider that lake. The colors of the boglands in the distance. I have made 50 attempts, I'm sure, to reduce all that to language. And you people, I know nothing about you. Indeed, I find the whole experience in this household rather strange, if you will forgive me. Yes. Foreign. I have great difficulty in understanding what precisely is being said by you Irish at any particular time, and yet we appear to share the same language. Nevertheless, I persist in my attempt to record everything. I make use of life. Because I do try to change. Sometimes I may meet someone particularly engaging. Like you. Yes. I begin to hope that I may be allowed relief. That I may be granted peace from my scourge for one evening. One hour. I have never succeeded. I am pursued by this distemper. I stagger to my desk and I write. May I make a confession? I find this abominably difficult to express. What I give to the world may have its beauty, its sweetness and light, that is for others to say, but in order to produce it, I have left some living organism withered. It's rather as if some insect had been at work.
Oh, but you must feel something good. I mean, there must be times when you feel that, well, you have accomplished something wonderful.
When I'm actually composing something in my head, yes. I feel a certain surge of power. I actually have this feeling now, here with you, of bringing an image into existence. But I shall soon suffer the banal experience of committing it to paper. And then when it is published, I shall see that this is not what I intended at all, that it is merely a travesty of the first experience. People will say, yes, charming, isn't it, but scarcely of the first rank. They'll say after my death, Aston, who, ah, yes, and then pass on.
I know I can't understand these things, but what you say is incredible.
I'm a very ordinary sort of chap. In fact, I don't particularly like the kind of writing which I produce. Indeed, I don't think I know quite what I am doing when I write. I love all the proper things. Nature, human infants, animals. I approve of all the proper things, culture and society, the emancipation of women, the amelioration of the lower orders. In other words, I am eminently qualified to be a modern writer. The problem is, however, that all the proper sentiments may be there, but without discrimination. I pick up the fashionable idea of the day as casually as I would a newspaper, and always there is this dreadful haste. The progress of the age is leaving me further and further behind. Then I arrive in a place like this, a place quite untouched, innocent of civilization, where nature still reigns in a simple perfection. I attempt to describe the scene, and I say to myself, perhaps this is all I can do, or should do, for the rest of my life. Perhaps I am a landscape artist.
Why, if I were a famous writer like you, I should have no doubts whatsoever. Certainly not. I would look to others to reach up to my level. I would insist on their respect. I would, really.
You are absolutely charming. You restore my faith.
I'd happily starve in some dreadful purlieu, simply to be a great artist before the world. Oh, my God. I actually feel weak at the very thought of it.
Yoo-hoo!
Has anyone seen Mr. Aston?
Oh, let's go to her, Mr. Get my things together. I regret leaving this beautiful place.
I've lived all my life here.
Yes.
Can you see that house in the distance, through the trees?
Yes.
That's my home. It was my mother's home, too. I know every inch of this countryside. I know all the secrets of the lake.
What is this?
It's the seagull that Constantine killed.
Poor seagull. I wish we didn't have to leave. Perhaps you could persuade Madame Isabel to stay.
Was she writing?
Making a note towards a story. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps not. A girl like you. A girl living in a place like this. quite apart from the ugliness and strife of the world. A lake. She moves about the lake, free, in communion with the stillness, with the elements, like a seagull.
And what then?
Well, a man comes by, traveling from the great world without, tired perhaps, bored perhaps. He sees her. And then, out of his boredom, he casually destroys her. That's one with a seagull, like this.
Ah, oh, there you are!
Come in. Did you want me?
Yes.
Why?
We're not leaving. We're staying.
Oh, really?
Yes, we're staying.
Just like a dream.
Into your book.
I don't know.
I don't care a bit. I don't know what I'd have done if he'd really killed himself. Even if he'd managed to damage himself, I mean, badly with that pistol, I wouldn't have been able to go on with myself, so I wouldn't. Well, one thing. I've decided to end my love for him, for Constantine. I'm going to tear out my love for him from my heart.
How?
I'm going to marry James.
Oh. But why?
Oh. Strange. You're about the only person around here who'd bother to ask the question. Oh, I don't know. It certainly isn't because of love.
No.
Aren't you very quick with your yeses and your noes?
Well, anyway, so no one ever gets married because of love. My mother didn't. Do you want another drop before someone comes in?
Really, isn't it rather early?
It's never too early, never too late, as they say.
Anyway, it's the only thing that keeps me going. Down the hatch.
You know something? I like you. I really do, honest. I didn't think I would, though, but I do.
Thank you.
Wish you weren't leaving now. We could have lots of chats.
Yes, I wish I didn't have to go, actually.
What did you get it today?
No. I don't think it's possible after that incident. Sonny's not been content with his attempt to shoot himself. I understand he's now issued a challenge to me. What's the matter with him?
He's only jealous.
I see.
My James hasn't a shilling to his name, and he's a Roman Catholic, and he has all that awful family of his down in that awful cottage. But I believe he truly loves me. I can't pretend to be interested in your books, but I'd love it if you'd send me copies of them from time to time, with my name inscribed. Don't write something flurry and poetic, though. That wouldn't be right, would it? For someone like me. Goodbye.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Look, which hand is it? The right or the left?
The left.
Oh, it's not, you know. It never works out properly for me. You see, I'm trying to tell my fortune so that I might decide whether or not to enter the theatre. Oh, how I wish someone could advise me.
But one has to make up one's own mind in such matters.
And now you're about to leave. I feel absolutely certain that we will never, never meet again. I brought you a present. Please, it's simply a medallion. You see, I've had your initials engraved upon it, and well, you can see it's the title of your book, Days and Nights.
Oh, I must say it's perfectly charming.
You will remember me.
I will remember you as you stood, when was it, merely a week ago. You wore that white dress. You stood with a dead seagull, and we talked.
The seagulls. Actually, I need to... We simply have no privacy here. Promise me. Promise me that we will have a little time alone together before you leave. Promise.
It's all too much, Peter.
What?
I simply don't understand why you can't remain here, darling. That journey to Dublin, and do remember your pains. Ashton, who was that who was here just now? That child, Lily?
Yes.
Oh, dear. You'll forgive our intruding upon your pet-a-pet. Well, now, I do believe everything is in order. I'm absolutely exhausted.
Days and nights, the first sentence, the second paragraph. Do you have a copy of my days and nights in the library?
Yes, it's in the bookcase below the east window.
Page 112.
Yeah. I mean, you just say it's absurd. I mean, you must remain at home.
I will only accompany you as far as Dublin.
That's not the point. I beg of you, Peter. I do not ask much of you, do I now, darling? But this time, please, remain here and watch over Constantine. To think... Oh, Peter, why did he do it? Why? To actually take a gun in his hand and... Can't you understand? I simply must get Mr. Ashton away from here. The boy is quite beside himself with jealousy.
Oh, well, I suppose... Yes, true. But, my dear, there's more to it than that. The boy is clever, talented, but he's stuck here in the wilds of Galway without prospects. Nothing to do, no one to talk to. He's dressed like a tinker. Terribly demoralizing, that for the young. Besides, at his age, he should have money to spend, places to go, people to, well, have fun with, that kind of thing.
Money, money. Where on earth would I find money to support him, as you suggest?
You're a kind...
He's bankrupt, absolutely penniless.
I would give him anything that I had. Cousin Gregory spends all my pension on his mad agricultural schemes.
Of course, I do have some money about the place, but one needs it for one's career, one's wardrobe, for instance.
You must not apologize, my dear. It is beyond... Oh, I have to believe that I'm...
Oh, good. Peter! Peter! Help!
It's all right.
Oh, my God.
All right. Much better.
Don't fuss, Mother. He's perfectly fine now. Uncle, you must lie down. He's been having these spells quite regularly.
Yes, not to worry. I'll lie down. But I'm going to Dublin.
Here, sir, let me give you a hand.
James. I can manage, James.
I'll be glad to give you a hand.
Thank you,
James. Oh, he's ill. I know it. He's dreadfully ill.
It's his place. He doesn't belong here. It would be perfectly simple if he were to stay in Dublin. That's where he belongs. It's simply a matter of money.
Money? Money? My God, are you going to start now? I have no money. I'm an actress, not a banker.
My head is splitting, Mama. Please change the dresser. You do it so gently.
Oh, now, Teddy. We are going to survive, aren't we? What a lot of cloth. Heavens, you look like a Turk.
I am in constant pain.
We are going to be more careful, aren't we? No more silly games with guns. Hmm?
Oh, when you touch me, nothing is painful, dearest Mama.
Promise now, my sweet one. You will never again...
I promise, Mama.
My dearest boy.
I simply despaired. No hope. But now I have you once more. I don't think I've ever been so close to you as in the past few days. Why, it's just as if we have never been apart.
There. That should do it.
But why must you continue to have that man about you?
You simply do not know him, Constantine. If you did, you would find him such a man of honor.
Honor? He's a coward. When I challenged him, he gave notice of his departure.
We decided to leave long before that.
Well then, where is he now, your man of honor?
What on earth are you talking about?
Your man of honour at this very moment, while we discuss his merits, is probably in the garden with Lily, exploring her future honour.
You are deliberately trying to provoke me. I won't have it. I respect him, and you will not slander him in my presence.
You would have me acknowledge his genius. Well, I can't. His books are a heap of old rubbish.
Jealous.
Typical of people who have no talent, who simply can't abide the presence of a real writer.
A real writer? Ha! I am the real writer here, not that fifth-rate scribbler who hasn't the respect of anyone in London. Do you even read the reviews? Of course not. You and your like would block any new worthwhile art because it means the end of your miserable third-rate plays.
I've never acted in third-rate plays.
You have sold yourself to the most decadent theatre in the world, aping the boring lives of boring people before bored audiences.
My God, you're your father's son, aren't you? The same low, common mind. How dare you comment upon my art? How dare you? You are nothing but the son of a Galway peddler.
You monster
tinker.
Miser.
Nobody.
You have turned me into a stop. Oh, my dearest. No more. Forgive me. Forgive your mother. Oh, mamma, hold me. I'm frantic. Everything's gone. Lily, my work all turned to acid, dust. I cannot live. I cannot breathe.
Don't speak like that. Everyone believes in you. Believes in your work, your talent. Don't despair. We're leaving now. She will love you again.
I love you so.
Constantine, listen to me. He's about to leave. Do try to be civil to him, dearest. For me.
Yes.
And let us have no more silly business with guns.
I can't meet him again. You mustn't demand that of me. It will be insupportable. Oh, dear God, here he is now. I can't.
Constantine.
No, 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 no. I must.
Page 112 is first sentence, second paragraph. My life is yours. Take it if you wish.
We're about to leave. The carriage is being brought up from the stables.
My life is yours. Take it if you wish.
You heard what I said.
Sorry? Yes, of course.
Have you all your things?
Certainly. My things, yes. Such incredible courage, I must say. I feel touched, deeply moved. Isabel, I wish to stay one more day, please.
Absolutely impossible, my darling.
No, you must understand.
There's no need to say anything. I understand perfectly. You will have to get a grip on yourself. You're simply flattered by this young thing. It will pass.
No, you do not understand. I am asking you to give me the freedom, to allow me. You can do this. You can release me.
Oh, my God! It's actually serious! What on earth makes that creature attractive?
I am utterly possessed by her. She actually makes me feel alive.
That ghost thing, that Irish innocent, I don't believe it. You're not in control of yourself.
Precisely. Her innocence, a very ghostery as you would have it, is scorch me in a net. You must give me this one chance.
No, you can't talk to me like that. I'm just an ordinary woman. Don't torture me. Don't humiliate me.
You're not free, that's all. You must liberate yourselves. You've not lost me. I'm simply bringing something else to you. The kind of love which is young, unspoiled. We must turn to such a love to renew ourselves. It's like a fountain. You see, I've never had such a love, and therefore I know what it'll do for me. Indeed, I cannot resist it now. And why should I?
You're mad! Mad!
Yes, of course.
What is happening?
You are refusing to listen.
Everyone is tormenting me first, Constantine. I am now.
It should be the opposite.
Is it my age? Am I really so old and ugly that you can talk to me like this? Oh, my God, you are devastating. You're destroying me, my beautiful, impetuous Pandy. The way you turn your power on people, I can't stand it. My will goes on. My incredible man, what you do to me, your touch, how you master me, my love, my happiness.
No, please. You mustn't. Somebody might come in.
I don't care. I would crawl before you. Don't you see? When you enter a room, you leave people weak. I can't move. Oh, I love you. Your genius, the beauty of your language. You are the greatest living writer in England. But of course, you are so modest, so unassuming. Only non-entities stand against you. Those rotten people in the Saturday Review. What do I care? I love and cherish you for what you really are. I give my heart to you. Serving you. Sending you, watching over you. I'm with you. Won't you? You won't leave me, will you?
I can never. There have been I've never been able to grasp anything that I desired. How could any woman want me? I'm so weak. Very well. Do with me whatever you wish. I'm your lackey. Your disgusting slave.
But of course, my darling, you may stay another day if you wish. Or another week, for that matter. I simply must return to London right away.
No, I will come.
Are you absolutely sure? I wouldn't wish you to do anything other than what you desire.
We will go together.
Of course, my darling, we will go together. What are you writing?
I'm writing down my impression of what has happened. Might use it sometime. Never know.
Well, all present and correct, I see. Sorry you must all leave like this. Because Miss Bill, the carriage is ready. We can keep it waiting, you know. Jack, will you take the bike over here?
That's all.
Don't worry, Isabel. We'll catch that train. Never let Balmer slow with others yet.
Dear cousin Isabel, it's not much. It's to keep the hunger off you. The apples are only lovely.
Oh, my dear, you are so kind, so thoughtful. I know we've all been a terrible failure. Please forgive us.
Now, my dear, you mustn't. I shall become distraught. It's the way everything comes to an end.
Everything does, sooner or later, I'm afraid.
Yes, sister, would you please attend to yourself? Look at the time.
Right.
No, long here. Okay, drop it later. Keep it in the picture. Goodbye, Aspen.
Goodbye.
Oh, Jack, would you get the coat?
The
coat, sir.
Oh,
thank you, Jack.
Heavens, Constantine! Where is my son, Isabel?
Oh, I can't stay. Please, tell him that we have left him. Do please think well of me. Jack, Cook has money for you. Divide it up between all of you.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Isabella, but my stick, I mustn't leave that black board. It was in here.
I've made up my mind. Tomorrow I will take the same journey to London. I'm turning my back on everything here to become an actress. I shall see you in London.
Stay here. It's near Victoria. The house is called Waverley. And Mrs. Pickett. She's very kind. Discreet. I've got to go. I will call on you.
Please.
You're incredible. Pale, innocent. But I will see this again. This hair, these eyes, this clear, pure face. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stark outside. When I came over the lawn just now, I near broke my neck at that old stage of Constantine's. It's still out there, you know, after 2 whole years, still flapping in the wind. Mary.
What?
Can't you come back home with me now?
No, I want to stay another night.
I'm only thinking of the baby, God help him.
I'm only thinking of the baby, God help him.
Mary.
No, leave me be. What's going on here? Who's the vessel?
Cousin Peter, he can't get up the stairs anymore. Constantine is letting him sleep in his study. Aren't you, Constantine?
Yes.
I'll give you a hand.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I suppose I'd better be off, so.
Well, go on, so if you're going, no one's stopping you.
Away, ma'am. Good luck, Constantine.
James.
Oh, I think it's great the way you've become the writer after all, Constantine. Isn't it marvelous, Mary? The way his work is in all the reviews. Sure, he's famous in London now. Dear Constantine, won't you try to be nicer to poor Mary?
Mother, there is nothing at all wrong in people turning to one another out of love.
Oh, for God's sake.
Now, look what you've done.
I only wish to help you, Mary, you know that.
Fine way of helping.
My dear, no one can be expected to go on living without ever knowing real love.
You're making too much of it, Mother, as usual. Anyway, James has applied for a transfer to Waterford. I am going to tear out my love for Constantine from my heart.
He's practicing the piano again. He must be sad.
He likes the old music.
Why doesn't he play something else? It's depressing, like so much else in this awful country.
Well, here we are now, Peter. They owe £6.10 in the shop because of all the mouths they have to feed. That's how it should be everywhere throughout the countryside.
Doctors make a lot of money, don't be cutting us now.
My dear James, after 30 years as a doctor, all my savings went on my trip to Paris. Do you call that luxury?
James, what are you still doing here? I thought you'd be gone by now.
Sure, how can I go anywhere when they won't give me a horse?
But you. My God, what's become of me?
Well, you've turned this room upside down in my absence, and no mistake.
It's for Constantine, don't you see? He works here, and should he wish, there is the garden. Perfect for someone who wishes to write.
Isabel! Isabel! Where is she? Just calm down. She's gone to Banlaslow to meet Mr. Aspen. She'll be back in a jiffy.
I'm sick, haven't I? You tell me, Hickey, how bad am I exactly? Bad enough to call everyone together, I dare say.
Good God, is that where I'm asleep?
Yes, Cousin Peter. It's all nice and comfortable here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, my dear. Very good of you.
Mm-hmm. Ah, Constantine. Oh, we're keeping you from your writing fire.
No, not at all. Anyway, it's not important.
And what was it like over in Paris, Doctor?
Paris? Oh, well, Paris is a different place to different people, I dare say. Oh, by the way, Constantine, did I tell you? There's great interest nowadays over there in the Celtic thing and all that. I thought of your play. Remember, Moitura? The one about the light and the dark. The one Lily acted for us outside on the lawn here. Was that 2 years ago? Good Lord. Oh, by the way, whatever has become of Lily? Someone gave me a strange story about her. I've forgotten what it was.
Yes.
Well, aren't you going to tell me?
I don't know that I can, really.
Oh?
She ran away from home. He seduced her, you see, that man asked her. You knew about that, didn't you?
Yes.
She had a baby. He died. He left her. When he had finished with her, he abandoned her. He destroyed her. She has failed at everything.
Oh, that's awful. Awful. But wasn't she on the stage at all?
Well, that's the worst part of it. She had such hopes. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were never real. She never reached London. I followed her about Bournemouth, Liverpool, and once in Cork. She played all the great parts, Ophelia to the Colleen Bawn. It was dreadful. She had no style, no sense of what she was doing. Only in the death scenes did she communicate something moving. It was as if she only understood death.
So she had some talent for the stage, after all.
She may have a great talent. Who will ever know? She wouldn't see me. I came home. She wrote to me letters that were warm, even loving, terribly intelligent. At times, I felt she was going insane. She would sometimes call herself Seagull, like a nickname given to a lover. But that wasn't it, really. It was simply grief. She's here, actually, you know.
What do you mean?
Here? No. I mean, she's staying at the hotel in Gort. I tried to call, but she remained in her room. I didn't wish to create a scene. She refused to see Mary. But James actually met her, didn't you, James? Apparently she spends her days walking in the field.
I did so. I saw her beyond the stile cross in the low meadows. She was just standing there. I says to her, aren't we going to see you at all, Lily? Yes, she says, you will. That's all.
Of course we will not see her. Her father and that dreadful woman have barred the door to her in her own home. It's so simple, really, Doctor. to decide on what should happen in one's writing. But it never does it, in real life?
She was beautiful.
Hmm?
That girl. I believe I loved her.
Listen to that, at his age.
She was very beautiful.
Here they are. They're back.
Yes, I can hear, Mother.
And my small cousin Isabel, as young as you're getting every day.
You're an incorrigible liar, Cousin Gregory, but we love you. Why, everyone here, isn't that nice?
How do you do, sir? What's all this I hear about bad health?
Oh, it's nothing.
Dr. Hickey?
Aston?
James? Constantine?
No.
Your mother has told me that you forgive me. I'm so pleased. Let's speak on it. There's a good fellow.
There is Constantine. Have you seen what Mr. Aston has brought you? A copy of your essay on the Celtic folklore.
That's very kind of you, I'm sure.
Well, everyone's terribly interested. Why, just the other day, a prominent London publisher spoke of you. I said I would try to persuade you to visit London, but that you lived a secluded life. I would advise you to keep up this mystery. It helps to create interest in what you write.
I live. It's not important. When do you leave?
Almost immediately. I really ought to be in London at this moment. You know, the odd thing is that people think you are an old man from what you've written. Very odd. Still, I suppose this infernal weather is likely to improve. I want to look at that lawn again. Do you remember where you presented your piece? I'm using that scene in a new novel. One has to get these details right.
Father, please give James one of the horses to go home on.
Oh, no, don't bother, Mary. I'll walk it.
Walk it? Did you ever hear such nonsense? Here, let us take heart.
Walked it before, so I have. I go home to where I belong. Good luck to you all. Good night, ma'am. Good night.
Come on, all of you now. Sit down. You see, Aston, my darling, we play this game in the long winter evenings. I mean, it's been played in this house ever since I was a child.
Typical.
Actually, I've found it to be a rather a bore.
He's read his story, but hasn't even cut the pages of mine. What does he think I am?
You won't play, my dear?
No, I don't feel like it.
Everyone put in a penny, please. Dr. Hickey, would you mind putting in one for me, like a dear?
Of course.
All right, here we go. 22. Pippins, that's me. Three?
Yes.
You have three?
Yes, yes.
All right, sir. 8, 81, 10.
What's your horse today, Alice?
I can't begin to tell you what the reception was like in Dublin. Such bouquets. 50.
50.
Poor Constantine playing that piano again.
He's on the dumps again, isn't he? All those damned attacks on him and those magazines he's always reading.
77. Really, he should be able to put up with that kind of thing.
Actually, it's rather unfortunate. He can't seem to find his own style. It's rather as if he were talking about things that are simply not there.
Well, I, for one, believe in Constantine's work. Yes, I do. His writing is vague, it's true, but that's because his mind works with images, not with people. In other words, he doesn't know who he is or where he's going. What about you, Isabel? What do you think?
I'm really not at liberty to say. I never seem to have time to read anything the boy has written. 26. 26, everybody.
Oh, by the way, Aston, I got something for you.
I beg your pardon?
That's Eagle. Constantine here, Shepherd.
26, everybody.
Oh, he asked me to get his stuff. Does he remember?
Really? Did I? No, I don't remember.
66.
Nice. I feel so shut in.
Constantine, would you mind closing that window? 88.
Good heavens, I've won.
Well done.
He's terribly lucky, wins all the time. Come along, everyone. Time to eat. Very right, Constantine.
I would prefer not to, Mother. I'm not hungry.
Suit yourself, Peter. Come along. Wake up, supper time.
Get you out of here.
I really
must. Useless. Absolutely useless. We need new forms that will bring back the ancient wisdom of the people. What does that mean? I have no contact with the people, merely stories out of old books written in a strong, lost language. What can it mean to me? Her pale face glimmering, the pale moon glinting. Everything is glimmering, glittering, glinting. I spend my time trying to catch the unseen. What's that? Hello? Hello? Who's there?
Oh, Lily.
I knew you'd come to isn't this incredibly wonderful. Please don't cry. It's all right now.
What's that?
It's nothing, love.
Someone?
No. There's no one but us.
Lock the doors, please. Don't let anyone see me.
No one will see you.
They're in the drawing room, I know. Madame Isabel and those others.
I'll have to put a chair against this door.
It's broken as usual.
I'll keep everyone away from you.
Please, come closer. Let me see you. The room has changed. Everything has been changed about.
Why didn't you let me see you in court?
I didn't want to see that hate upon your face. I could never bring myself to... Let's just sit, Constantine, and talk as we used to. Don't you remember? I keep thinking of our reading together. Poor naked wretches. Wheresoe'er you are. I'm houseless, too. Like a seagull. That's not true. Oh, I have taken too little care of this.
Oh, please, Lily, don't cry, please.
I stole onto the lawn tonight to see where our stage had been, and there it was, still standing. I cried then, for the first time in nearly 2 years. I feel better now. So, you've become a writer, Constantine. I am happy for you, I really am. I was so happy living here. I believed I was totally, passionately in love with you. And here I am. I am going to take the boat from Kingstown. I will sit out on the deck as it sails to Holyhead. Drunken cattlemen will make obscene remarks to me. Life is really very ugly.
Oh, but you can't leave. Where are you going?
Oh, I have an engagement. It's a marvellous new company.
Lily, I must speak seriously to you. You must listen. This is true. I did hate you. I believe I could have killed you at the time. But now I understand that it was all simply a measure of my love for you. I will never stop loving you. Nothing else matters to me. Not my writing, not anything. I am incredibly unhappy. I walk about saying your name. I kiss the places where you want
to go. You must stop. At once. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, what are you doing? What did I say that was wrong? What have I done?
I must go. Why is Madame Isabel here?
Uncle Peter is ill. We telegraphed Mother in Dublin.
Oh, why did you say you kissed the ground on which I had stood? You ought to murder me, you know. I am utterly exhausted.
I see. I see. He's here, isn't he? Aston. He has nothing but contempt for the stage. Did you know that? The horrible thing is that he made me lose faith in myself. So, I was quite dreadful on the stage. I didn't know what to do. My voice wobbled. My hands stuck out in all directions. I was so dreadfully worried about my baby before it... A seagull! How absurd. You do remember the seagull, don't you? You shot it. And he... came along so casually and picked it up and disposed of it simply because he had nothing better to do. Material for fiction. Perhaps that's not... God, what on earth am I talking about? The stage. Yes, of course. Yes. My career is absolutely wonderful. I mean, when I'm on stage... nothing else matters. Oh, it's been good to come back here. I know what I must do now. You see, being a great actress or a great writer, it really doesn't matter.
What matters is being able to go on with some small dignity within oneself. That's all. Really. I feel that now. I'm not afraid of being alive anymore.
Yes. You've changed, Lily. It's odd. I actually envy you now. Who would have thought it? You see, I'm different. I no longer believe in anything. I no longer believe in my work. No one wants it.
Hush. You mustn't say that. I must go now. Do come and see me when I'm famous. You will. I must hurry. It's getting late. Well, so she brought him with her. Doesn't matter. I want you to promise me something. When you see Aston, you mustn't mention my name. Promise? You see, I love him. My love for him has never died. If anything, I love him more desperately than before. What ever happened to us, Constantine? We had such a simple, peaceful life here. How pure we were then. Like two children playing together, don't you remember? My truest plain. I shall speak again and again until the spirit of darkness is finally defeated and the spirit of light shines over the light of Vanda.
I hope Mother doesn't see her. I hope no one sees her. It would upset Mother frightfully if she were to know.
Down there, Jack.
Yes, ma'am.
You can bring in the tea in a while.
Very well, ma'am. Oh, I say, Aston, I got something here for you. That's you. Seagull. Stuffed. That's what you wanted, wasn't it?
Well, no, I don't remember asking. There must be a mistake.
What was that?
Oh, not to worry, everyone. Just something's gone off in my bag. I'll go and see. Ah, just as I thought a bottle of ether just blew up. Nothing to worry about.
Oh, goodness.
I really didn't quite
think.
For one moment, everything went dark.
Oh, Aston, I wanted to ask you about an essay in this magazine.
Oh, really?
Yes, very interesting, as a matter of fact. You might be able to,
We must do something. We must get Isabel away at once.
Why?
Constantine has shot himself.
The Seagull by Anton Chekhov, in a version by Thomas Kilroy, Isabel Desmond was played by Anna Massey. Aston, Alan Rickman, Constantine, Dominic Guard, and Lily, Fiona Victory. Dr. Hickey, P.P. McKenna. Peter, Alan McNaughton. Gregory, Tony Doyle. Pauline, Kate Binchy. Mary, Maggie McCarthy. James, Sean Barrett. And Jack, Brettany McKenna. Technical presentation was by Graham Harper, and the music was by Max Early. The director was David Hitchenson. That was the second of six internationally renowned plays being broadcast in Globe Theatre on Radio 4 and the World Service of the BBC. Next week's production is All My Sons by Arthur Miller. It stars Harry Taub and Constance Cummings.